Greetings in the name of the Lord. We have been thinking for a few days on the subject of the example of Christ to the believer. What an important subject this is, and how we need this subject in our day. How we need the example of the Lord Jesus in our day, when we Christians are faced by so many things in the world, by difficulties we face, by discouragements, by hardships sometimes we go through. And we're faced with various things also from the unsaved world. And I say this respectfully of those who are not yet Christians. Sometimes the unsaved people cannot understand why we change. Sometimes even family members cannot understand. How wonderful it is that we have an example in the Lord Jesus. And that the example in the Lord Jesus is our encouragement and our help when we're going through some of the things we live in as we live in this world. Now, the example of Christ is especially important because the Lord Jesus was also born in human flesh. He, of course, is the divine Son of God. But there was this decision where the Lord Jesus submitted himself, humiliated himself to leave heaven's glory and to come down into this world and to be born of the Virgin Mary. And to be born and to live in this world some 33 or 33 and a half years. And his purpose in coming was that he might live and prove himself and then die on the cross for our sins. I have pointed out before that there could be no salvation had the Lord Jesus not come. There could be no salvation now for us. Because in heaven, he could not die on the cross for our sins. He had to be in human form and to submit himself to human beings who would humiliate him, who would revile him, who would curse him, who would put upon him every possible form of human suffering. The beatings, the crown of thorns, the sword in his side after the crucifixion. What terrible suffering he went through for us, and how wonderful it is for us that we are saved today through his blood. We're not saved through anything we do, anyone else, anything else we could possibly do. We're saved only through faith in the Lord Jesus as our Savior, as we come to him in repentance and faith and trust him as our Savior from sin. I want to speak today on the subject of enduring temptation and how the Lord Jesus is our example in enduring temptation. I want to read with you from Hebrews chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, turn to it with me. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we do not have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our weaknesses or infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now verse 15 is a key part of this passage. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We've considered many different subjects concerning the example of the Lord Jesus to our lives, but we're considering this example of the Lord Jesus in enduring temptation. Enduring temptation. There are those who think, well, after all, Jesus, as a divine Son of God, could not be tempted. No, in this world, he was tempted, and this passage points this out. We know, of course, some of the temptations that he went through. For instance, Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13, where he was tempted by Satan himself. Satan needed to somehow destroy him, lead him into great temptations. I don't want to go deeply into that passage, but as you consider the three forms of temptation he had, Satan offered him everything this world could possibly offer to anyone, and tempted him with these things, including great, great power. In other words, even the nations of the world would be subject to him. And yet the Lord Jesus, even during a time of great fasting, refused to yield to any possible temptation. Imagine living for 33 and a half years and never yielding at all to sin. This passage points out he was tempted in every way like we are, and yet without sin. What a wonderful example the Lord Jesus is to us. In all types of situations he was tempted, and yet he did not yield at all to sin. Now, as we live in this world, we ourselves are continually going to face temptation. It's one of the facts of life. When we become Christians, first of all, we are not sinlessly perfect, as some people seem to be teaching. We are not sinlessly perfect. We still have that old nature which is nagging at us. It is true, we are now made new creatures in Christ. We have the new nature in us. But the old nature is constantly seeking to gain mastery over us. And Satan makes sure that we have abundant temptations every day of our lives. We can be enclosed. A person can be in some retreat somewhere and yet be tempted to sin. Martin Luther threw his inkwell against the wall one time. He was in a monastery somewhere, and he threw his inkwell against a wall because even in the seclusion of the monastery, he was being tempted. And so Christians face this. We are never without temptation. And we don't need to yield to temptation, and yet the temptation is always there. It could be the temptation of the evil thoughts of our minds. It could be the temptation of our feelings, of our attitudes. It could be temptation to say the wrong words or to have the wrong actions in our lives. There are so many ways we are tempted, and sometimes we somehow feel very weak, as though we need to yield. James speaks of these temptations over in the book of James, chapter 1. He says in James chapter 1, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." So he's speaking here of the natural condition of men. I want to encourage you in several ways. First of all, we have a wonderful example in the Lord Jesus himself. We will be tempted. There's no escape from temptation. But first of all, we have this example in the Lord Jesus of someone who resisted temptation, who did not yield to temptation, and came out of this world after living there for so many years and dying on the cross and being resurrected. He came out with a testimony that he had never sinned, yet without sin, Hebrews 4 told us. And so we're encouraged by his example that we ourselves can resist temptation. We do not yield to temptation. The passage in James, which we have just read, indicates that sometimes we try to blame other things. We even blame God. Why did God let me be tempted like this? Why do others tempt me like this? Why does God permit me to live in a world of temptation? Why is my will so weak? Why is my nature so weak? Why does Satan bother me so much? We have so many temptations, so many excuses for our sin. There are no excuses. When we are tempted, we make choices. And the choices are either I will yield to temptation and I will do what Satan wants me to do, or I will stand against temptation and I will not yield to Satan in this matter. Now we also not only have the example of Jesus, and I don't want to take away from the example of Jesus, but he has given us his help in overcoming temptation. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says this, greater is he who is within you than he who is in the world. The one who is within us is God's Holy Spirit, whom the Lord Jesus has sent to help us in our Christian lives. Romans 8 indicates this. The man of Romans chapter 7 says, I try to do right, and I do the wrong thing. And that which I want to do, I don't do. That which I don't want to do, that's what I do. And he speaks in total despair. But the secret is, in Romans 8, the help of the Holy Spirit. So this Holy Spirit has been sent by the Lord Jesus to help us in our lives. First of all, he's our example. But second, he gives us a power not to yield to sin. And so in Romans chapter 8, he speaks there of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. How wonderful it is that the Lord Jesus not only commands us to live righteously and apart from sin in this world. We're given this command in many places. Romans chapter 6, Galatians 5 and 6, Ephesians 4, 5 and 6, 1 Thessalonians chapters 4, and so forth. We're not only commanded to live righteously and apart from the world and apart from sin, but we have the example of the Lord Jesus and the help he has sent to help us live by this example. So my question would be this. Why do we keep excusing ourselves? We have the means at hand in the example of Jesus and the encouragement it gives us, and then the power we have in our lives by the Holy Spirit to overcome sin. So why do we excuse ourselves? Rather than excusing ourselves, let us simply say to God, help me today to depend upon you and to love you with all my heart and to turn from sin. And by your strength, by the help of the Holy Spirit, help me to follow the example of Jesus and to take his power in my life and be separated from sin. And so this is my prayer for you as we come through this meditation and as we bring this meditation to a close. My prayer for you is that you will resist temptation. You will look to the Lord Jesus as your example of one tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And as the last verse, verse 16 of chapter 4 says, let us come boldly under the throne of grace, that we obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. May the Lord bless you and keep you as you follow the Lord Jesus and resist temptation.